meeting. It's good to see you as we have an opportunity again to worship God. We're grateful and thankful to Him, and it's good to see each one of you, and invite you to turn with me as we will begin from Luke 6 in just a moment and discuss and study some things concerning forgiveness from the Word of God. Again, we welcome our visitors. We're glad that you're particularly with us tonight. It's good to see you again. Glad that and hope that your stay here and travels will be safe and enjoyable and restful. In the passage that Brad just read for us, the Lord speaks of us being sons of the Most High. That is, that we are to bear the traits and characteristics of God. The expression "son of" in the Scriptures conveys that idea. To be sons of peace is that we carry the trait of peace. When Jesus described James and John as sons of thunder, it was because their personality and reactions were like thunder. And so to be sons of God not only conveys the relationship that we have with Him in Christ, but also the idea of, as expressed here, that we are to so conduct ourselves that we bear the traits, the marks, the characteristics of our Father, of the Most High. And here particularly, it will be concerning the matter of forgiveness. As we try to answer the point of why we must forgive. Why is forgiveness crucial, essential? Why does God expect us to forgive? What are the benefits that we gain when we forgive? And what are the hindrances? And what is the effect upon us if we do not forgive? Some of those points are addressed in this passage and in some others that we'll look at. As he urges us in this text to show a love for our enemies that rather than focusing upon what we get in exchange, to instead be the one who extends love and mercy and forgiveness, and in doing that, then we will receive immeasurably beyond this time, reaching into eternity. So before we look at why we must forgive, and by the way, the point is not just why we should forgive, but why we must forgive, that God puts a moral obligation upon us as His people to forgive, to be forgiving individuals. Before we look at that in some depth, we want to set before us again what it means to forgive. It means to send forth or to send away. It is a compound word put together. One part of it means from, and the other means to send. And so, to send from or to send away. When there is forgiveness, for instance, of debt, there is a release, a sending away of the debt that exists. Matthew 18:32. Concerning, of course, sin, the word is applied. When Jesus said, "Son, your sins are forgiven." So that is, your sins are sent away. Your sins no longer stand as a barrier between you and God. Remember, Isaiah said it is your sins that separate you from your God. That is the trouble of sin. The problem of sin is the separation and death that we incur because of our sin against God. The need of sending those sins away is what is accomplished in Christ, in His redemption, redemptive work through the cross. So that forgiveness becomes a remission of punishment that is due us because of our sin, and a deliverance from the penalty that is otherwise imposed upon us for our sins. The wages of sin is death. So you see, when sin is forgiven, there is a removal of the punishment and penalty that exists. If a debt is forgiven, then we no longer have to pay that debt. There is no longer that account given to that debt because it's been removed. It's been sent away. So also with sin, when we seek God's forgiveness of our sins, It is removing or remitting the sin itself and the punishment due to that sin. We are delivered from the penalty that sin incurs. That is, we are delivered from death. Romans 6:23. The wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. So when sins are set away, forgiven, then rather than the penalty of death, now there is now in its place the life that is obtained in the Son. Now, God's forgiveness is freely offered to all people. It's offered to all, and yet we know all are not forgiven. So, and the Word of God establishes, teaches us that God's plan of redemption of sinners, we must obtain that forgiveness from God through faith. That is, we respond in faith to the will of Christ to obtain the blessing of His redemptive work. In Acts 2, when the apostles set forth Jesus as the Christ, the Lord in Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified, when they heard this, they were pricked or cut to their heart, and they said, "Men and brethren, what must we do?" Or what shall we do? And Peter said, "Repent, and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins," or for the forgiveness, for the sending away, the remitting, the removal, "and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." So there is a response of the sinner to obtain the forgiveness that is freely offered. Now, whether or not the sinner responds to the offer, God is loving. God is merciful. God is ready to forgive. The forgiveness is obtained when we will act in faith as He has instructed us to become a Christian, or as Christians, Acts 8:22, which says, "Repent therefore of this your wickedness and pray God, if perhaps the thought of your heart may be forgiven you." So here is a sinful thought expressed in the offering of money to obtain the power to give the Holy Spirit. And he says, the sinner is told to repent and pray God to obtain from God the forgiveness God offers. In 1 John 1 and verse 9, these are principal passages that teach us as Christians when we sin. It says, if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins. That is, He removes the punishment that is due our sin. There is an establishment again of the relationship with God of life rather than death. There is deliverance from the penalty imposed upon sin. God remembers it no more. He says, where there is remission, God remembers the sin no more. Hebrews, the 10th chapter, and verse 18, where there is remission of these, there is no longer an offering for sin. And I believe a little bit further, or a little bit, in fact, the verse before that, their sins and their lawless deeds I will remember no more. So an adequate sacrifice in Christ means there's no longer an offering for sin. It's sufficient to give us remission. And where there is remission from our lawless deeds, from our sin, then God remembers them no more. Now, that's the forgiveness that we thank God for. It is not only that God removes the punishment, but that God no longer holds us accountable for those sins that He has forgiven, that He has removed. But we must act in faith. We must respond in faith to obtain that release, that sending away, that forgiveness of our sin. And in like manner, therefore, when God says that we are to be like Him, and that we are to forgive, and we are to love, and we are to show mercy, as we read in Luke 6, this forms the basis of the kind of forgiveness God says we must do, the kind of forgiveness that we must extend to others. So why must we do this? Why must we forgive? Well, we can say in a very basic way, because God commands us to do so. That God commands us to forgive, and therefore we must forgive. Now, that's a very basic, that's a very elementary approach, but an important one, because what it indicates is a willingness to be submissive to God in the matter. It's indicative of a faith that trusts God and yields to God's will in the matter of forgiving another who sins against us. In Colossians 3:12-13, we find the commandment when he says, "Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies," or put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, and meekness, and long-suffering, bearing with one another, and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. So there's the commandment. God says you must do this. You must do this as my elect ones, as my chosen ones, as those who are now free from sin, forgiven of your sins in Christ. So we must forgive because it's an expression of our submission to God, because God commands it of us. There's a willing heart here that shows a submissive spirit to God. When I refuse to forgive another person, and particularly I'm talking about Christians now, ourselves, when we as Christians refuse to have forgiveness in our heart, to have this heart and put on this heart of mercy that is capable of forgiveness, then we refuse to be submissive in spirit. And without that willing, submissive spirit, we become hard in our heart. An unwillingness to forgive shows a hard heart. A heart that is hardened. A heart that perhaps holds malice or bitterness or some form of resentment. And it is unyielding and it is unmerciful. And God does not command us as His people to be unmerciful, unyielding, malicious, bitter, resentful people. That is not being sons of the Most High. Those are not the traits of Almighty God. So, why must we forgive? Well, fundamentally, because God expects it of us. God commands it of us. And we cannot hold any confidence of being in a right relationship with God if we are unwilling in heart to release the sins that have been committed against us. Now, in our forgiving, we forgive as God forgives. God has commanded us to forgive, and He uses His forgiveness of us as the standard, doesn't He? As we even read in Colossians 3:13. He said, "Even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do." And we'll get back, we'll note again in Ephesians 4:32 that Christ forgives us completely, immediately, and with finality. It says, "Be kind to one another and tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you." Now, you know, in any relation, in our conduct with one another, any relationships we have with our family or at work or among our brethren, there will be time and occasions where sin occurs against one another. A heart of forgiveness, a heart that is ready to release, to send away, a heart of compassion, is the attribute of God that we have obtained in Christ. And so if we are going to truly obey the commandment to forgive, it will be with a heart that is developed to express the kind of forgiveness we have obtained, tender-hearted, not a begrudging spirit, but again, as God in Christ forgave us. God has not forgiven us with a begrudging, unwilling heart, some sort of a mandatory expression that is compelled upon Him, but He freely, willingly, completely, and with finality releases, forgives in Christ Jesus. Now, in the same way, that's what God expects of us. Peter asked Jesus, "Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Until seven times?" And Jesus said, I'm not saying to you seven times, but unto 70 times seven. That is, without limit, we are to always forgive. This is as God forgives us. God does not reach a limit point in forgiveness. And aren't we grateful that He doesn't? Aren't we thankful that God is long-suffering with us and willing to hear our supplication when we sin again and again against Him? And in the same way now, He teaches us that we are to forgive one another. Because He goes on in that text in Matthew 18 to talk about the master who had two servants. And each of them owed him a debt. One a great sum and the other not so much. But they didn't have ability to pay. I got that confused. Let me start over. I'm getting them confused. Let's read verse 24. He began to settle his accounts, and one brought to him one who owed him 10,000 talents. So this man didn't have the ability to pay, and he freely forgave him the debt. He, in turn, went to a fellow servant who owed him a much smaller sum, but he could not immediately repay it, and he refused to show mercy as his master had shown him. And for that, of course, he is scolded, he is reprimanded, and he is punished for his unwillingness to forgive. Let's pick up our reading in 33. Should you not also have had compassion on your fellow servant just as I had pity on you? His master was angry. And this is God's expectation of us, is that we forgive as He has forgiven us. And He sums it up in 35, My Father in heaven will do to you if each of you from his heart does not forgive his brother his trespasses. From our heart we forgive. And that's why Colossians 3, in talking about putting on a heart, he talks about forgiveness. Forgiveness comes from the heart. Releasing, sending away, removing that barrier of transgression. So rather than accountability and death, there is now a restoration of the relationship of life as it should be. In Psalm 86 and in verse 5, we have some of these noted when, in speaking of God, it says, You, Lord, are good and ready to forgive, and abundant in mercy to all those who call upon You. So God is ready to forgive. God holds compassion and mercy and grace and love. We see all of those expressed in Jesus. And in that heart of willingness to forgive, we have the pattern that we are to follow. Otherwise, we are not being sons of the Most High. So, why must we forgive? Well, because God commands it of us. And if we're going to be submissive to Him, if we're going to show our faith in Him, then we're going to conform our hearts and therefore our conduct to hold forgiveness toward others and even toward our enemies. We are to hold forgiveness in our hearts and express it in our treatment of them, even if they do not show a reciprocal response. Go back with me to Luke 6 and see the point here. He said to 35, Love your enemies, do good, and lend, hoping for nothing in return. And your reward will be great, and you'll be sons of the Most High. For He is kind to the unthankful and evil. Now understand, there is a difference between kindness and forgiveness. But let us remember, and we'll go on here to develop it, is that God's character and purposes are one of forgiveness. So that even when man does not respond, even when sinners do not respond to God's offer of forgiveness, God says, I'm ready to forgive you. I'm anxious to forgive you. I want to forgive you. That's the heart God wants us to have. Even toward those who sin against us with no intention, no indication of seeking forgiveness for their transgressions. Let's look at the character of God and the conduct of God in some of this. In Exodus 34, verses 6 and 7, when God appears here and stood with Moses on the mount, it says that the Lord passed before him and proclaimed, The Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abounding in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, and by no means clearing the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children and the children's children in the third and fourth generation. So Moses made haste and bowed his head toward the earth and worshipped. Now, God identifies Himself as merciful and gracious and long-suffering with and abounding in goodness and truth. He says, I am one who keeps mercy for thousands. My mercy is cast abroad. Forgiveness is of iniquity, of transgression, of sin. It is extended to the thousands. But I don't clear the guilty. That is, those who do not respond to God, who do not seek to obtain that forgiveness on God's terms, don't obtain it. But God's heart is one, God's character is one of mercy and forgiveness. This is so why must we forgive? Because it's a part of the character of God. It's about becoming like God. It's about more than just following a commandment, but understanding that in following the commandment, I am to shape my heart and treatment of others into the very character of God Himself. That's the power of the gospel, to help us have that same heart, that same character trait as God. In Daniel 9, let's read verses 18 and 19. Daniel 9, 18 and 19. Daniel's supplication and prayer here for his people. He says in 18, O my God, incline your ear and hear. Open your eyes and see our desolations, and the city which is called by your name, that's Jerusalem. For we do not present our supplications before you because of our righteous deeds, but because of your great mercies. Why do you go to God to forgive? Go to God and ask for His forgiveness? Because He's a merciful God. Because there's an expectation that when we approach Him as He's taught us to, then we obtain that mercy and our sins can be released. O Lord, hear. O Lord, forgive. O Lord, listen and act. Do not delay for your own sake, my God, for your city and your people are called by your name. So Daniel holds up God as the one who forgives for His name's sake. Not because we are righteous, not because we deserve it. We're not forgiven because we deserve it, but because God is merciful and He has provided a means for our forgiveness and extended that great, you say, but God who is rich in mercy and the great love wherewith He loved us, when we were dead in our sins, He made us alive together with Christ and raised us up to sit with Him in the heavenly places. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 4 and 5. It's God's great mercy, God's great love, God's forgiveness that we're to emulate. That is to be a part of us. Why must we forgive? Because God wants us to be like Him. He wants our heart, our character, to be like we have obtained in Him. Ephesians 1 verse 7. Of course, we obtain the riches of His grace in Christ. It says in that verse, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. So here is the Lord Jesus on the cross saying, Father, forgive them. For they don't know what they're doing. They don't know. Is that really the trait of character that we express when people sin against us? Now, there's no... Remember, God says, I don't condone, I don't clear the guilty. When the sinner continues in their sin, mercy doesn't just look the other way. Forgiveness doesn't say that you know, the sinner can keep sinning and there's forgiveness regardless. No. But we're talking about the nature of God, the character of God. And we see it in Jesus on the cross. And this is why we must forgive, because God wants us to be like Him. We talk about being like our Master. Well, here's an element of being like our Master. It's when people sin against us, are we responding the way Jesus did? Not reviling for reviling, but contrariwise blessing. 1 Peter 3, verses 8 and 9. You see, our task is to be sons of our Father who is in heaven. And Matthew 5 is a parallel to Luke 6. In the Sermon on the Mount, you've heard that it said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemy and pray for those who despitefully use you, that you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven. For He makes His sun to rise on the evil and the good, sends rain to the just and the unjust. For if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? And if we only forgive those who forgive us, what have we gained? How have we become like God when we just forgive those who forgive us? But God is ready to forgive those who are sinning against Him. He said, don't even the tax collectors love those who love them in return? He said, if you greet your brethren only, what do you do more than the others? Don't even the tax collectors do so? Therefore you shall be perfect just as your Father in heaven is perfect. As our Father has a complete expression of love, indicated in one instance toward mercy and compassion and forgiveness, a readiness to forgive, God expects us to be at the ready. That's why we must forgive, because our God is defined by it, and He calls us to be like Him. We must forgive because it's good for us. That is, we must be ready to forgive, understanding that God has designed forgiveness not only to be a benefit to the one that is forgiven, but the one who extends the forgiveness. Let's go back to Luke 6, and let's see that in verses 37 and 38. And He says, judge not, and you shall not be judged. Now, we understand this from Matthew 7 to be a warning against the hypocritical judgment. And it's explained more there in Matthew 7, the first 4 or 5 verses. Condemn not, and you shall not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, will be put into your bosom. For with the same measure that you use, it will be measured back to you. Someone asks you for a cup of sugar, do you add a little more to make sure they have enough? And you give them a cup and a quarter just to be sure that they have all they need, or give them a cup and a half just to be sure. And shake it down, you know, press it down, make sure there's plenty there, or we're kind of stingy with what we give to somebody. But what about our forgiveness? Are we kind of stingy with our forgiveness? Are we open and responsive and ready to give in full measure and then some? It says if we are willing to do that, and if that is the expression of our forgiveness, is He not teaching us that God in turn responds in kind? That God then blesses us? There's a blessing that comes when we forgive. A blessing that comes fundamentally that is that when we are forgiving in good measure, like God, then we are thinking and acting like God. And this is a spiritual blessing that we have in Christ Jesus. Remember, the principle stated by Jesus, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Now, it's a great blessing to receive forgiveness. A magnificent blessing from God. Because we've sinned against Him. Or when we've sinned against another, and we go and we ask and plead for their forgiveness, it is a relief, a release. It is a blessing when they forgive us. But it's also a blessing to the one who gives the forgiveness. Because in that act of forgiveness, we are showing ourselves to be like God. We are developing a heart of compassion. See, here's what's good for us. When we forgive, we are showing compassion. The compassion that we have received from God. We in turn now are blessing or giving that to someone else. So while it's a blessing to receive God's compassion, it's a great blessing to give that compassion then in turn to someone who sins against us. And that's why the anger of God is seen in the parable in Matthew 18. The servant who had received compassion and forgiveness of his debt was not in turn giving compassion as he had received it. Forgiveness is good for us because it blesses us. Blesses us in cleansing our heart toward others too. Go back to Ephesians 4. When we forgive somebody who sinned against us, it's a cleansing of ourselves as well. It is a mechanism to help us help prevent from sin developing within us. Ephesians 4:31 says, "Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be kind to one another, tender hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you." What happens when we refuse to forgive? We start bickering, we start speaking evilly of other people, bitterness starts to grow in our heart, we start being resentful, we clamor and complain. We certainly are not tender-hearted, but hardness of heart grows. You see, there's no blessing in that. Why Christians forgive, why we must forgive, is in the attitude of God of Father, forgive them, is a defense to keep us from falling into sin. Help us not develop bitterness and hatred. You see, because that's the struggle and that's the temptation. And when someone sins against us, to respond reviling for reviling, to react in an ungodly way. But you see, as sons of God, we are to react like He does. When He is sinned against, He is still ready to show mercy, compassion, and forgiveness. James 2, therefore, in verse 13, talks about the mercy. And he says that mercy obtained is, or that mercy triumphs over judgment. He said, "Judgment is without mercy, the one who shows no mercy." It's good for us to show mercy, because if we don't, we will not obtain mercy. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Mercy triumphs over judgment. There is victory over judgment and condemnation and mercy. Not in overlooking sin, but in having a heart of readiness and willingness to release. You see, God gives that, extends that mercy and forgives us in the Son. And so we forgive because it brings us and keeps us in the blessings of Christ. And so then equips us and prepares us really for the eternal reward. And finally, we must forgive so that we will be forgiven. We forgive because we understand that we need forgiveness. We, without forgiveness of our sins, we are eternally lost. So that an unwillingness to forgive, when we are unwilling to forgive, we've forgotten that we must have forgiveness ourselves. Let's go to Matthew 6 and see, of course, in the model prayer that the Lord teaches here, He says that we should be praying to God, "Forgive us our debts or our transgressions as we forgive our debtors." Forgive us, God, as we forgive. And that really should be seared into our hearts. And to remember, God, and pray, "God, forgive me the way I'm forgiving others." It's really what He says we ought to be praying. When we pray asking God to forgive us, are we remembering to examine and make sure that we are forgiving people? And that we are really asking God, in asking Him to forgive us, we are indicating that we understand God's going to forgive us as we forgive others. And as Jesus goes on in 14, if you forgive men their trespasses, your Heavenly Father will forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. So why must we forgive? Well, to be forgiven. Because we need that blessing. And so we must be ready to give that blessing. In Luke 11 and verse 4, the passage is similar to Matthew 6. Says, "And forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who is indebted to us." You see, this is the thing. When someone sins against us, there is an element of indebtedness to us. Instead of holding that person hostage to that sin, we're to have a compassionate heart that is ready to release, ready to forgive. I think there's a passage. Let's go over to, I think it's Mark 11. In fact, I think we have it next on our chart. Mark 11 and 25. That's what Jesus says here. He says, "Whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him." Now, why would you have something against someone? It's because they have sinned against you. But he says, if you're praying to God and you have anything against anyone, forgive him. Well, he hadn't come to me, God. He hadn't come to me and asked me to forgive. That's not what Jesus is talking about. He says, you forgive him. Jesus is on the cross and they haven't come and said, "Jesus, forgive us of our sin of murder." But he says, "Father, forgive them." Here's the heart of forgiveness. Here's the character of forgiveness, of mercy, of compassion. And without it, we will not be forgiven. He says, if we'll have this, he says, you stand and you pray, and if someone has something, if you have anything against another, then you forgive him, that your Father in heaven may also forgive you your trespasses. Because you see, our trespasses are against him. And God can say, "Joe, I have something against you." Well, all of us can say that because we've sinned against God. But you see, God says, "I have something against you, Joe, but I'm ready to forgive you. In my Son, through his blood, there is redemption. Now, Joe, I expect you to put your faith in him. I expect you to turn away from your sin. I expect you to repent. I expect you to obey my gospel. And I expect you now to conform yourself to my will." The forgiveness is ready. The offer is extended. But if we're not even willing to have that offer in our hearts, that readiness in our character, how can we expect God to release us our debt? To forgive us? We forgive so that we may be forgiven. We may be sons of the Most High, sons of God, Luke 6, 35. Now in Luke 17, verses 3 and 4, Jesus said that if your brother sins, some versions say against you, in fact, first of all, he says, take heed to yourselves. That is, take the warning, be warned. If your brother sins against you, rebuke him, and if he repents, forgive him. And if he sins against you seven times in a day, and seven times in a day returns to you, saying, "I repent," you shall forgive him. So there is the need to rebuke, and there is the need to forgive. There is the sinner who has sinned, who repents, who comes to you and says, "I repent." He says, you give the release. You forgive. Take heed, because you see, the temptation is to not fully forgive. There's a need to fully repent, and there's also the need to fully forgive. God fully forgives. And that we may be fully forgiven, He expects us to fully forgive. These are the reasons that we must forgive. We must have hearts of mercy and compassion that are ready to forgive. We forgive because God's commanded it of us and we submit to Him. But in addition to that, it's the very character of God, and we want to be like Him. That's why we must forgive. And because it's good for us. There's benefit to us. We are becoming more and more like God as we forgive. And of course, the most good of all is that by us being forgiving of others, we obtain forgiveness ourselves. We must have hearts that are ready to forgive. Look, Romans 10:21 is helpful, I think, here as we close these thoughts about forgiveness because sometimes, you know, the issue arises, the question trying to understand forgiveness comes up as well. You know, I can't really forgive somebody until they come to me seeking their forgiveness. Well, that's true in terms of extending actually doing the sinning away. At the same time, like Jesus on the cross, we are to have a heart of mercy and compassion that is ready to forgive. Or like God toward Israel in this passage, Romans 10:21. To Israel, He says, all day long I have stretched out my hands to a disobedient and contrary people. Isaiah 65:2. God's hand was stretched out every day to Israel. Every day for Israel to repent so that God could forgive them of their sins. And it's in that way God expects our hand to be stretched out, to be ready to forgive, our heart open to forgiveness. And of course, when God's conditions are met, then the release can be made. See, without forgiving others, we will be lost. We will be lost. And that takes us back to Mark 11:25-26 that we just read a moment ago. If you do not forgive, neither will your Father in heaven forgive your trespasses. We must forgive because without it we will not be forgiven. We will lose our souls forevermore. And in that final analysis, what have we gained? We have gained nothing by holding malice in our heart. We gain nothing by not developing a heart that is ready to forgive. So, Let us continually in our lives with one another, in our lives and with our families, with strangers, with enemies. Let us develop and keep hearts of mercy, of compassion, hearts that are tender, that are ready to forgive, that are anxious to forgive. And let us also be people that when we find sin in ourselves against God, that we are anxious to go to God obtaining His forgiveness, but then in turn also forgiving those who sin against us. The call of the gospel is to see that God's hand is stretched out to us, that God is ready to receive us, to forgive, to send away, to cancel the debt that is owed and the penalty that is due. If you're not a Christian, be forgiven by God tonight by responding to His will in faith, repenting of your sins, confessing that Jesus is the Son of God. Be baptized into Christ for the remission, for the blotting out of your sins, that your sins will be forgiven, remembered no more by God. And then to walk in new life, also ready to forgive as you've been forgiven. If that's your need, or as a Christian, it's your need to correct sin in your life against God, or sin in your life against another, which is indeed sin against God, then use this opportunity to forgive and to be forgiven. While together we stand, while we sing.